get fired up for Spirit Fire Radio, your guide to practical mindfulness and meditation. Join hosts Tim Darter and Steve Kramer and discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day. Watch yourself connecting in a whole new way and find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. Now here's your hosts, Tim Darter and Steve Kramer.
Hey, welcome. It's so great to be with you and on WBLQ. My name is Steve Kramer.
And I'm Tim Darter, and welcome to Spirit Fire Radio as it takes its maiden voyage.
Maiden voyage indeed. We've been saying that a lot in the last few days. And we are going to take you on a voyage. We're going to take you on a voyage through the practice of living awareness. And this is just a wonderful meditation practice, and it is Spirit Fire's own meditation practice. So you might wonder, Spirit Fire Radio, Spirit Fire, what is this Spirit Fire? So I'm going to turn the mic over to Tim and let him tell you a bit about Spirit Fire itself. Tim.
Sure. So Spirit Fire is an educational nonprofit, and our mission is cultivating spirituality and educating people on the importance of consciousness in their everyday lives. And we do that through three pillars. First is education, then meditation, and then through our retreat center. So for education, we have various conscious living programs and online classes, all designed to bring you to a closer, fuller version of yourself. Then our retreat center, which is in Leiden, Massachusetts, which is at the foothills of the Green Mountains in western Massachusetts. And there it's a green, organic, and a facility where we bring all kinds of guests in, where we get to use them and learn all kinds of different modalities of people who are on the path and learning all kinds of ways to bring consciousness into their own lives. And then we have meditation, which is the hallmark of Spirit Fire, and we have our own meditation practice, as Steve alluded to. He's a practitioner of it himself, so I'll let him fill in the details of what that practice is.
Indeed, that is called the practice of living awareness. So this is a 14-step practice, and it's an online meditation program. As Tim said, at the retreat center, we do lots of meditating. It's actually our hub. It's where we broadcast daily online meditations, and that's all free through Spirit Fire as part of our nonprofit's mission. So we do 20-minute guided meditations 7 days a week, 365 days a year. It's pretty awesome. If you're a beginning meditator, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays we meditate. And what's unique about this practice is it's a 14-step practice. So each week we dedicate one step. 1 week to one step. So Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you go deeper into each step, which turns out to be a tool that builds this meditation tool belt. And we find you can use these tools throughout your life. We love the idea of taking the meditation off the cushion. We're constantly saying that. And, you know, Tim and I at the retreat center are always seeing presenters who will have a certain way of looking at life or a certain way of leading people down the spiritual path, ways of finding people, leading people to their core. And we notice always that within their modality, there is something that emulates a specific step of our practice. And we just thought, wouldn't it be great if we could actually bring some of these people in to talk about the ways that they sort of express this particular step. And then, voila, we've got Spirit Fire Radio, a radio program. So we will be dedicating one show once a week, and we're going to have guests on. A lot of them are people we've met through the retreat center and through Spirit Fire itself. And we're going to talk about the steps. We're going to pretty much go one step show.
The show won't necessarily be about meditating itself. We aren't going to be meditating on the air. What we're going to do is bring one of those guests in who exemplifies the step so that you can see how someone else and how it's possible to put that into your life.
Yeah, we've been saying that we are the ambassadors of this practice. We're the ambassadors of the practice, the airwave ambassadors. So we thought, what better way to kick this off than to have the creator of the practice of living awareness? I'll tell you, I lived in New York City. Personally, my story, I lived in New York City, and that is a really pretty intense place to live. And I came across Trans-Himalayan Ageless Wisdom Teachings and started to learn a modality of energy healing, and found it so fascinating and so useful personally and professionally. And meditation is a huge aspect of that. And I definitely needed a meditation practice that was going to work for me. And I just couldn't find one anywhere. They didn't seem to fit. It always seemed I was in a room full of people that I felt like I needed to be dressed a certain way, or I needed to have a certain language that I wasn't familiar with, or I wasn't at a certain level where I was able to just dive in and really understand and build a foundation for myself. And I came across this lovely woman named Donna Mitchell Moniak. Interestingly enough, I came across her on talk radio. So it's beautiful that it's full circle and that we have her with us today on talk radio to talk about the practice. I found the practice of living awareness, found it so practical, so accessible. Within not even 14 steps, I found that I had a meditation practice that I could call my own. So Tim and I are so delighted to have Donna.
Who's not only the founder of Spirit Fire, but as Steve has said, created the practice that we are going to turn into this talk show and use it as its basis. So welcome, Donna. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you so much for having me here with you. This is exciting.
Yes, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Yeah, indeed. Great to have you with us. So, you know, I must say, you taught me how to meditate. It's really wonderful to be able to be here and actually ask you these questions live. So, you know, tell us a bit. You know, I know Tim has wanted to know.
Right. So where did the motivation for the practice of living awareness come from?
The motivation came from largely looking out into the world and seeing how, as Steve said, people struggle oftentimes with establishing a meditation practice. Part of that's just part of the animal, if you will, of meditation, because it has to do with really coming inside, stilling the mind, that kind of thing. And we live very busy lives. So I looked out, and I said to myself, well, you know, I can pull together a synthesis of the tried and the true, but that still isn't quite enough, because there are many people doing that, pulling together the synthesis of tried and true teachings from all over the world. But what brings it home, I think, for the practice of living awareness is that it really does engage one's life. It includes the idea that every moment is the only moment for meditation, and that meditation, although we learn it on the cushion, it's so important, as Steve said, to take it off the cushion into the life, and that is what's going to change the world.
Indeed, I would agree. I see it changing people's lives every day. And as you say quite regularly, change yourself and change the world.
Right. You know, when we look out to our own lives and we see either the fast pace of it or what things ruffle our feathers, that kind of thing, if we also understood, and when we do begin to understand, that that is an internal response. And that internal response, we have options with that. And so the practice of living awareness is so much about helping us understand the options through feeling the moment in the 20-minute meditation, what is going on in there. So, you know, I'm sure at some point together we'll talk about textures and qualities and things like that that are an aspect of the tantric component of the practice.
Indeed.
Right. So how did you begin to meditate? Where did your path lead you to start that practice?
Sure. Truth be told, I was quite a contemplative child. You know, gazed off into the sky and that type of thing quite often as a child. But I think what brought home the idea of a sitting practice, and then furthermore, what do you do once you've learned how to sit and calm your mind, is that I was about 25. I was a supervisor within a pharmaceutical company, small pharmaceutical company, and we did sterile products. So you always had to be in this really small, enclosed environment, all with, you know, sterile gear on and all that. Well, this gentleman came to work. He ended up only working there for 2 weeks. He was kind of like breathing through. And you know how you have those fortuitous experiences where it's literally like that. Somebody breathes into your life and breathes out again. But they bring a great gift. And the gift was that we were sitting in this very small, enclosed, sterile environment, and you chat while you're doing whatever your task is. And he said, you know, you strike me as a meditating kind of person. And I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, have you ever tried actually meditating? And I said, no, I really don't know what to do. And so he said to me, do A, B, and C. And I went home that day, and I did.
Uh-huh.
And I found that I was living in Boston at the time. It was very simple. Follow your breath. Sit down. Get calm. Follow your breath. And I was living in Boston at the time, and I found myself astral projecting out my window and flying all around Boston. It was amazing, and I came back in through my window, so to speak, and I said to myself sitting there, wow, that was so easy, and now I know what parts of it I don't want to repeat. Because the jollies of that was not important to me. The jolly of flying around Boston was not what was important to me. What was important to me was that it worked like a science, like an A plus B equals C. It worked. And that is what started me with meditation and started me simply really following what was going on within my body, within my mind, within my emotions, and using that as a platform for the stillness that I was seeking and for the creativity that is an aspect of my life as well.
And how beautiful that you have been that for so many people as well. You know, you've sort of astrally projected into their lives, not really, but actually physically projected into their lives and taught them so much just as this man came in,
right,
delivered his message and went out. It's really
given
wonderful.
That same gift.
So, wow, look at this. We're at a break already. And, you know, you mentioned synthesis. You mentioned synthesis. I love when we get back, if we could talk a bit about that, about the various practices that have come together to create the practice of living awareness. So we will be back after this short break.
Transformation Talk Radio is dedicated to the education and awareness of Lyme disease.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Lyme Talk Radio. I'm Dr. Pat, joined here by
Dr. Nusheen Darvish.
Dr. Pat Basile and Dr. Nusheen Darvish will be bringing the most innovative, groundbreaking information, research, treatment innovations, and stories from those it affects every day.
I'm so excited to be talking about this.
We have so much to share.
Dr. Darvish and I are planning to do is connect the dots.
People suffering with all sorts of chronic diseases, it's time. It is time for them to transform.
Tune into Lyme Talk Radio and help keep our mission strong.
For the loyal listeners out there that have been listening to this incredible show on Lyme disease, we are not going to let you down. We're going to come through stronger and enrich the platform for Lyme disease awareness through Lyme Talk Radio. The message will continue, the conversations will become stronger, and the healing epic.
Hi, I'm Tim Darter.
And I'm Steve Kramer.
Join us on Spirit Fire Radio. Discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day.
And watch yourself connect in a whole new way. Find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio.
Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. for your weekly guide to practical mindfulness. And to learn more, visit www.spiritfireradio.com.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Hey, welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. I'm Steve Kramer.
And I'm Tim Darter.
And we are here with Donna Mitchell-Moniak. She is the creator of the Practice of Living Awareness. And I should say that she is the voice that you will hear who is leading our online meditations. And I should give you a little bit of information. You could go to spiritfire.com. Tim was telling you earlier about our nonprofit. And that is basically the internet hub for everything, spiritfire.com. And if you'd like specifically to learn about the Practice of Living Awareness, you just hit the meditation tab and it'll tell you everything about our practice and give you links to recordings. Every time we do an online meditation, we record it and put it up to our blog. And interestingly enough, we've got a brand new round that is starting this
on September 14th.
So exactly. That's on Monday.
On Monday. And we have various other meditation programs as well that you're more than able to join and participate. Start meditating with us.
Yeah, definitely. So go to spiritfire.com and read a bit about the Practice of Living Awareness. So Donna, we were talking about you're creating this practice and looking out into the world and saying, well, yes, indeed. I think that these are modern times and perhaps modern minds, and perhaps it needs a new practice that we, you know, we see in the world. We see a blending of cultures. We see blendings of ideas. Certainly the internet, you know, we'll talk about that. You were a bit of a pioneer, you know, here bringing online live meditations way before we saw it becoming such a fad. But that this is such a synthesis of so many different practices. I'd really love to hear a little bit about that.
Sure. I think that you have to look at Patanjali as one of the primary grounds, if you will, of sources for meditation. His yoga sutras are truly timeless. Many people are used to the term yoga meaning something to do with a physical postures, etc. But in truth, the yoga sutras, as he put them down, is primarily about clarity of mind, stillness of mind, training the mind so that we can actually know who we really are in a way distinct from our sensations, perceptions, beliefs, and this kind of thing. So certainly Patanjali's work and the Raja Yoga, which is the yoga of the soul and the mind, is probably the first cornerstone in the practice of living awareness, because it is the cornerstone of all meditation practice on our earth in all traditions. And if anyone questions that, all they have to do is look at the first maybe 10 sutras of Patanjali and then look at the meditation practice that they are doing or have been exposed to. And I think everyone will see, yeah, they're pretty congruent.
Hey, and just in, could you give us just a little time frame on that? I think perhaps just in case Patanjali is new to people. I mean, this dates back to...
There were actually two schools of thought in Patanjali. Academia, which, you know, academia wants everything to be very tight and tidy. Academia would say that Patanjali lived in around 200, 300 B.C. after the Buddha. Actually, that doesn't make sense. And so there is a whole other school of thought that looks at how long humanity has been meditating and the various traditions of the world. That school of thought, which is shared by many, many disciplines of meditators, is that actually Patanjali was a very ancient being. You know, you're talking tens of thousands of years before the whole change that happened when, you know, the great ones went to the mountaintops and kind of saved humanity after the great deluge that wiped out all the civilizations before that. So then, from that point of view, then Patanjali really is the father of and the source of, again, and the reason why meditation has the same fundamental principles throughout all traditions all around the world. That is the primary evidence to suggest that he was long before, again, academia would like to say that he was.
And what are those common principles?
Go ahead.
What are those common principles amongst all the other?
Yeah, breath, first and foremost. And, of course, with Patanjali, most people are familiar with the term pranayama. you know, as some sort of awareness of following, etc. What we do with the practice is we don't count breaths or anything like that. Instead, what's important to the practice is texture. Texture and quality. And that is part of the tantric and the shamanic root of the practice of living awareness. Within Tantra, Tantra is all about the direct experience of something. The word is a Sanskrit word, and it means continuity or woven. So there one wants to understand that the continuity that is happening in this moment right now, for instance, I am speaking, there's a vibration in my vocal cords, it's coming through, and that is giving me a feeling of excitement and joy and creativity. So the texture of my moment is excitement, joy, and creativity. So within Tantra and within the practice of living awareness is that, and that's stemming from Patanjali again,
yeah.
And the idea of breath being one of the first and primary things. The second thing with from Patanjali and throughout all meditation practices has to do with the mind. Well, first, what is the mind? We've come to a place within kind of the Western medical empirical model that mind is distinct from emotions. And truth be told, again, if one investigates, one will find that that's a rather new post-World War II kind of idea about the human being. And before that, mind and emotions, or mind and the whole sensate quality of a human being, was all together as one, and it was all considered mind. So within Patanjali, and again, all meditation practices, is well, get to know your mind. Get to know what is mind. Mm-hmm. And then the third thing I would say, which within the practice we utilize and use in a more kind of, I don't know if the word is modern, but applicable way, is that whatever stillness we can find on the cushion, it is actually very important that we bring that into the world. And so one of the things that I say within the practice is, our insides creates our outsides, and then our outsides conditions the inside. So very simply, that's the tantric and shamanic nature of it. In other words, our insides, our state of mind, emotions, impatient or patient, etc., that is going to create our response to our moment. Are we happy? Are we, again, frustrated, etc.? So we're going to act from that. The shamanic, ground, earth, sacred quality of that is simply to say, well, you know, if I act in a non-sacred, non-intelligent, non-aware way, I'm going to get the results of that. That also is Tantra, because Tantra is continuity. Continuity is, well, if I will continue a impatient state if I act from impatience, because then somebody's going to get impatient with me, etc., etc. So these factors of state of mind, what happens with the state of mind if we can bring it and understand it, bring it into our day more mindfully, and breath. Why breath? Breath is smooth. Breath is continuous. Breath is has a texture to it. And if we tap into the texture of our breath, we will learn to tap into the textures and the qualities that are going on all through our day.
And again, it's a moment where the outside comes to the inside. You know, certainly we draw in our breath from the outside world and sort of creates the wellness that's inside. And
exactly. And then the idea of now the outside conditions the inside. Well, again, if I've been impatient and I act in an impatient way, then I'm going to get the results of that. Somebody's definitely going to be impatient with me. Somebody's going to, you know, cut me off in traffic, whatever it might be. My child is going to be unmet, you know, in their childlike nature, right? Their child. So whatever it is going to come back. So now it's a conditioning that's going to condition my ongoing inner nature, my ongoing emotions, my ongoing frame of mind, etc.
And what I'm hearing again and again is that really there's this observation that's happening. You know, there's a noticing and there's a sort of self-awareness. So it brings us back to this word awareness again. So I really love the name, the practice of living awareness, and sort of that play on words of, are you living with awareness? And actually, in what ways is awareness living? I sort of love that, you know, and that shamanic aspect of the practice is what drew me in so quickly. There's so much reference to what's happening in nature. When you speak about a weaving, you know, I notice through time with the practice, you really start to feel the way in which you are woven into your entire surroundings, you know, into nature, into relationships, in the various ways that we penetrate, you know, we penetrate nature and nature penetrates us. It's a really beautiful aspect of the practice, one I love so much.
Right. And lastly, too, on what you were just saying is that awareness is extremely vibrant. It's titillating. It's scintillating. It's dynamic. It is alive, awareness. And I think that, too, as we proceed through the practice with all the practitioners week after week, and something is brought forward through that week's instruction, and everyone is encouraged to take it off the cushion and notice it through their day. And what everyone emails me back is, I never noticed that before. So that's notice or usually not notice, which we say all the time, but not in a petty way. We're not talking about being petty or judgmental. We're talking about, what is the full richness there is in every single moment?
Right.
Including,
okay,
you know, if we are in a place of
Donna.
Diana, yes.
We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to let you finish that
sure.
whole thought. So
we'll be right back.
You got attitude? Keys to the rescue. Adjust your attitude with Keys Clear Protein Waters. So refreshing. Just a few sips of Keys will give you a whole new outlook, thanks to 22 grams of the happiest protein on earth. Tongue-tingling tasty without the guilt of naughty or nasty ingredients. If that doesn't put a smile on your face, maybe you need to drink too. Put a little
woohoo
in your attitude with Keys Protein Water. On Amazon or at Keys, K-E-E-S, please.com.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Enlightening, humorous, and compassionate. Listen live to The Kelly Ballard Show, insight and inspiration from the great beyond. Kelly is a fourth-generation medium and intuitive who covers topics ranging from grief, spirit guides, and listening to your intuition. Kelly can help you get answers and guidance from the other side with a little bit of humor and a lot of healing. Tune in to The Kelly Ballard Show, Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time here on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hey, welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. I'm Steve Kramer.
And I'm Tim Darter.
And we're joined today with Donna Mitchell Moniak. She is the creator of the Practice of Living Awareness. It is going to be the cornerstone of Spirit Fire Radio. Each week, we're going to bring you a different guest that has something to say about a particular step of the practice. So Donna, I'd love it if you could tell people just a little bit more about the practice itself and the way it works. This is a guided meditation. Maybe you want to talk a little bit about the guided meditation and what that offers in so far as the practice of living awareness.
Sure. A guided meditation, when I started teaching meditation, I was 28. That's 30 years ago. And what I found over a very short period of time was that when people receive very particular, gentle instruction through a sitting that is also providing, the sitting time is also providing lots of space for the ingestion of that instruction, the observation of the instruction, and therefore then the application of the instruction, that it actually is far more effective than when you give instruction before the person closes their eyes or, you know, stares wherever they're going to stare, and then leave them alone for 20 minutes or 25 minutes. There's an awful lot of wandering that goes on as the person is questioning, am I doing it right? There's a lot of self-coaching going on inside the mind. And so people realize very much the frustration that can go with that, and that they're just tired of hearing the inner talk, the inner coach, etc. Whereas I've just observed that the guided, as long as it's not overly guided, not verbose, lots of space left for the experience itself, it just is far more effective.
And there's something wonderful about the field that's created. You know, you really sense that there's a meditative group field, which when we've got meditation programs at the retreat center, certainly you're sitting in a group of people. But I loved every morning getting up and being a part of this group. I loved hearing your voice. I loved, you know, really feeling that meditative group field, which I know you enjoy as well, huh?
Yes, exactly. And similarly so on the live sessions, of course, you can see the queue of the people's names. And it doesn't matter how many or how few are there live, just because of time zone, it really is inconvenient for many people around the world. There are people around the world doing the practice of living awareness. So that time zone factor, you know, will affect how many people are there live. But you can feel that field regardless of how few or how many are there. And I think that's because people are committed to just being in that living awareness, and that then is magnetizing the entire field, again, regardless of who's there live or who's doing it by podcast.
Right. And I would also even say that even within the podcast, there's a vibration that is created through your voice and through being guided, you know, being guided, even if it's through a podcast, right. There's a certain level to that vibration and that sound.
And I know we see a lot who come through the center and, you know, they haven't started meditating or they're looking for a practice, and something they always say is, oh my gosh, I can't settle my mind. I sit down and my mind is just going crazy. What do you have to say about that particular feeling of that new practitioner's experience?
First, that it's the only experience to have at first. Yeah. And to wish or to want another experience is futile.
Right.
The reason for that is that we spend, except for our sleeping time, we spend all of our day externally stimulated. From everything that is like the sky and the wind on our face, mm-hmm. to, you know, the stresses and the responsibilities that we all have throughout our day. So to then expect some sort of on-off switch to happen when we sit down on a meditation cushion, it's just not going to happen. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think that's one of the key factors about actually a guided meditation, is right. that it is actually coming through us or to us from the outside, which is exactly what we're used to. But the nature of the guidance is drawing us in and is calling our attention to what is going on within. And I think the last thing I would say to that, of course, is that every meditation that I offer throughout my entire years of meditating is always spontaneous in the moment. There's nothing scripted about it. I don't pre-think them, anything like that. So whatever is the nature of the moment, the energy of the moment, what's going on in the world and how that telepathically is a shared impulse for all humanity. So that, too, is somehow within the vibration of the spontaneous, brand-new meditation that is done every day.
Mm. And then, so...
I think that's one of, if I may, I think that that's, that is very unique, I think, in online meditations. I think that for the most part, online meditations are canned. Now, granted, one could say, well, the podcast is canned. But the podcast was done, of course, live, brand new, spontaneously, and therefore, energy within it.
Right. Yeah, and you really feel the progression. You know, that adds, as you're doing a step a week, and sometimes within the practice, we've taken 2 weeks, we've taken more, because you'll sense within the field that actually we're going to take a little bit longer with a step. It always hasn't been set in stone, but as that builds, not only is it new for the day and feels very relevant to the energetic of the day, you know, you yourself are an esoteric astrologer and are very tuned into what's happening in the energies of the planet, with the energies of the planets that are surrounding us, and so it always feels different, but yet, then again, it always seems to build. You know, you would go through a week and then go to the next step the next week. And that's what I find to be, again, so completely unique about the practice of living awareness is that building, that right. tool set. Each week is a new tool, is a new tool. One leads to the next. It supports the one before it. It supports the one after it. And before you know it, you just really, there's this whole new world at your fingertips. It's really quite wonderful.
Which, and that's, you know, a great segue into, I would love to know, where did all the different steps come from? You know, Steve and I will get into deeper conversations regarding each one, but some of them are like smile, tip of the nose, flow. You know, there's an interlude, heart, mind. But when you were putting together the practice, how did you determine the sequence or what should each step encapsulate?
Mm-hmm. Again, I think that part of it comes back to or goes back to the roots of meditation. From the Eastern point of view, there is that you really do have to understand the nature of your own equipment. That includes mind, body, that the body is designed actually not to be sedentary. It's designed to be in motion. So you need to figure all that out or to at least sense it. Well, in order to do that, then, that created the first few steps, the first four steps, in the respect of we smile because it's wonderful to be alive. Even if we're having a rough day or we're living in a very challenged environment, we are alive. We can do something with that. We can use it for our awareness. We can help to change it. Think of an option, and we can do something with it, which then leads to breath and tip of the nose. Well, where do we breathe? We breathe at the tip of the nose, most people. And, well, that's a powerful, like almost over-the-top, amazing interface.
Yeah, it's a collation.
Everything inside and everything outside, to even consider that this breath right now that we're all breathing, no matter where we are, is gone around the whole world. And somehow, magically, you know, we are breathing it. And then we're going to breathe out and add our essence, our moment, our emotion, our thought, back into the whole world again. So each of these beginning steps bring us to here, now. What's going on here, now, in this body, in this mind, etc. The next chunk of steps then bring us into, okay, now that we've kind of filled the body, kind of filled the mind, what's really going on in that mind?
So
we'll find a variety of qualities. And then lastly, the last section of the steps combines those two and says, well, now let's ripen it. Let's bring that to a more mature state.
I'm hearing shamatha and vipassana. So we're going to go to a break in a minute. And then I'd just love to hear you talk about those two words and the ways that they've influenced the practice and actually the ways that they are within the practice. So we're going to go to a break and we'll be right back with Donna Mitchell Moniak.
You got attitude? Keys to the rescue. Adjust your attitude with Keys Clear Protein Waters. So refreshing. Just a few sips of Keys will give you a whole new outlook thanks to 22 grams of the happiest protein on earth. Tongue-tingling tasty without the guilt of naughty or nasty ingredients. If that doesn't put a smile on your face, maybe you need to drink too. Put a little woohoo in your attitude with Keys Protein Water. On Amazon or at Keys, K-E-E-S, please.com.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Enlightening, humorous, and compassionate. Listen live to The Kelly Ballard Show, insight and inspiration from the great beyond. Kelly is a fourth-generation medium and intuitive who covers topics ranging from grief, spirit guides, and listening to your intuition. Kelly can help you get answers and guidance from the other side with a little bit of humor and a lot of healing. Tune in to The Kelly Ballard Show, Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time here on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hello, I'm Tim Darter.
And Steve Kramer.
And we're here with Spirit Fire Radio, and we're speaking to Donna Mitchell Moniak. And we were just asking her about how the practice of living awareness relates to shamatha and vipassana meditation types. So, Donna?
Yeah, those two words are pretty extensive in meditation practice, and I think a lot of people are now familiar with these Eastern Sanskrit term shamatha and vipassana. Shamatha, for those that might not know what it is, shamatha means peaceful or tranquil abiding. And so that is from Patanjali, and then the Buddha took it and really ran with it, and it's within the Tao Te Ching and the teachings of Lao Tzu, and it's the very first thing that any shamanic practice is going to teach a person. Sit down on the ground and be at one with the earth. Come to stillness. So that tranquil or peaceful abiding is what is essential in any meditation practice, to come inside, to withdraw from the outer stimuli, quell the mind. No one will ever silence the mind. That's impossible. But we can quell it. We can quieten it. We can bring rhythm to it. That's shamatha. And that's within the first several steps of the practice. Again, through the technique of the textures within our breath, within breathing, within the tip of the nose, within the lungs that soften and open to receive and release, etc. Vipassana, or vipassana, again, Sanskrit. Actually, vipassana is Pali, and vipassana is Sanskrit. Then that means clear perception or penetrating insight, and oftentimes just called insight. And so the insight meditation centers, that they focus on vipassana. But what everyone might not know is that in order for vipassana to have a chance, shamatha is required first. So whether you go to, for instance, a Vipassana meditation center or Vipassana 10-day retreat or a Shishin with a Taoist group or a Zen group, you will still find that the first number of days, if not the first number of years in that practice, are going to be shamatha, coming into a peaceful state within oneself. And the only other thing I would add is that the practice, I consider that the practice of living awareness, the word practice is a shamatha. You got to practice or there's no peace within. Vipassana is in the word awareness because that's what awareness is. Awareness is constantly penetrating, vibrant insight. And then lastly, the living practice of living awareness is Vajrayana or Tantra. Vajrayana and Tantra are synonymous terms, basically. And so that's, again, the vibrant life, direct experience, be in it now. The now is all we've got. There isn't anything else.
Wow, I can just hear the wisdom. This is why I was attracted to this practice, and wow, certainly to all that it has to offer. Lovely. Mm-hmm. Well, the practice itself, why don't you tell us a bit? I know you've got, we're starting a new round next week, and you've got retreats coming up. You know, we've talked about the living awareness, bringing this into your livingness. And so, we've got retreats coming up. Why don't you tell them a bit about that, about ways they can actually incorporate the practice and find people to meditate with and learn about this a bit more?
Sure. As you both have said, you know, the new round of the practice begins. This is going to be maybe a sixth year online with the practice of living awareness. We usually do two rounds a year, so it's always very exciting to start the next round. So new practitioners come in, and of course, many people have done round after round, stay with the entry practice, as well as do either of the two advancing levels of practice. We call them intermediate and then generative stage. And the reason that they do that is the same reason that I love the entry practice. And that is because there's always such richness to be discovered within one's life. And because this is about living awareness, then as we are called to the attention of these things through the 20-minute entry session, then it's very easy to then look for it, feel it, directly experience it outside in our day. And then, yes, there are three meditation retreats coming up. One is starting actually tomorrow evening here at Lovely Spirit Fire Meditative Retreat Center. Here in Massachusetts, the focus of the meditation retreats is the path of meditation itself, or meditation as a path. The other two locations are Milwaukee and Tahlequah, Oklahoma, and both of them will be in October. So they're open to the public. Love to have you there. You can get information on it at spiritfire.com.
Certainly, for the people that are listening on the East Coast or on the listening area of WBLKU, you're not so far. It would be great to have you over at Spirit Fire. We've still got some spaces available. So take a look. And this whole, if you look online on spiritfire.com and look on our upcoming events, you'll see that there is a Tanga, which is a wonderful image that's related to the path of meditation. Maybe just say a few words about that, about the ways in which you might use this for this upcoming retreat or these upcoming retreats in Oklahoma, Wisconsin, and starting tomorrow night at Spirit Fire.
Sure. The Tanga is a very classical. Tangas unto themselves are classical educational tools and meditation tools because the imagery is symbolic in every regard. And this particular tanka that you two have put on the website is a literal path and goes through various stages of the meditation practice, again, in a symbolic form represented by an elephant, a monkey, and a human being. And they change color and all that kind of thing. So we'll use it as the representation of what's going on inside, and how to address what's going on inside so as to effect, actually, meditation, shamatha and vipassana.
The monkey mind that we all know so well, indeed. So I might say that, you know, Donna taught the most wonderful class on tangas just this spring. We did a whole entire class on these beautiful instructional pieces of art. In fact, they're hanging all over the walls at Spirit Fire. And most of us, when we're in meditation, are meditating, you know, with surrounded by these just beautiful instructional educational pieces of art. And so I might mention now that, you know, Donna, a lot of the classes that she's taught are online at spiritfire.com under education. Lots of lectures, a lot of the classes, everything available. So would hope that you would check it out. And to learn more about the guests that are coming up on Spirit Fire Radio, you can also go to spiritfireradio.com. And it's probably a good time to mention Donna has got an amazing blog, blazinglight.net. Again, that's blazinglight.net. There's just a wealth of wisdom, of information, meditations, and so much. We've had such a great talk with you, learning more about the practice and sort of kicking off this great adventure that's going to be Spirit Fire Radio.
Donna.
And us as the proud ambassadors of your practice.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's been a wonderful and a joy to be with you today.
Yeah, any last words? We have 1 minute left before we get off the air, so just wondering if there's anything you want to say about meditation.
Sure, I think the only thing that has not been mentioned is the practices blog. So that's livingawarenessmeditation.net, and there, for instance, somebody might listen to this and say, hey, I want to check out a meditation. Well, right there on that blog are years of meditation.
A wealth of meditation.
Thank you for
indeed.
That.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So thank you again, Donna, and we will see you all next week as we go into our first step of the practice of living awareness, Smile, with our guest, Lori Warren.
All right. It's Steve Kramer, and it has been a pleasure to be with you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for listening to Spirit Fire Radio. Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time for your weekly guide to practical mindfulness. Join Tim Darter and Steve Kramer and discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day. Watch yourself connecting in a whole new way and find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. To learn more about Spirit Fire, visit www.spiritfireradio.com.